you in them streets.
We coming for you.
And life got you beat.
We coming for you.
The dope boy in the trap.
We coming for you.
These youth getting laid flat.
We coming for you.
The prostitutes and the hopeless.
We coming for you.
We trying to show you what hope is.
We coming for you.
Lost souls can be changed.
We coming for you.
Cause Jesus Christ came to save.
We coming for you.
From the love of Christ, it's love and sacrifice. Christ to save your
life. Then Moses said, please let me see your glory. He said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim the name Yahweh before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Exodus 33, verses 18 and 19.
Welcome to Hope Radio 98.7.
Yeah.
Captive Project. We're excited, of course. We're in the midst of our look at who is God, and we're specifically targeting the names of God.
Hashem.
Okay. It's really been an exciting discussion. On our last discussion, we talked about how important a name is and mm-hmm. how significant it was, and how today we really don't take as much passion behind naming our children and, mm-hmm. and accepting a name as they did back in the day. Now, there are cultures that still see that the name as important, of course. You know, there are cultures that take it very seriously. But the way God took it serious, especially when he revealed himself, because that passage you just read was interesting, because Moses asked him, he said, show me your glory. Mm-hmm. And what does God do? Reveal his name.
Right.
It's uh-huh. like in that passage that you read, it's like, and I will proclaim my name,
right,
the Lord, in your presence. And it was really interesting that he associated his name with his glory.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of what we talked about. And so we welcome, of course, the usual suspects, Robert, the preacher extraordinaire,
Bobby
Sunday.
Bobby Sunday, Brother Sheffy.
And then, of course, Frank.
Take a deep breath.
Breathe easy, would ya?
And then, of course, our producer, as you know, the legendary Macedonia.
Mac.
Mr. Missionary Journey. So,
I want to dive right in, because, you know, last time when we kind of got together, we talked about the what God's name throughout the scriptures have done. They've been a source of revelation mm-hmm. of God. They've been they've led to adoration of God.
Oh yeah.
We talked about Abraham and that example, mm-hmm. That passionate example. They've been, his name has been associated with being a refuge or a protection.
Yeah.
God, and it symbolized a location where mm-hmm. God's glory was. And as we talked about how significant that is for the Captive Project and what happened at Hope Fest, these last couple years, it identifies, God. And so what I want to look at is the various names of God.
Yeah.
And what we find in Scripture is real interesting, because you have proper names of God, personal names of God, descriptive names of God, and title names of God.
Mm-hmm.
And what I find interesting is that his proper names, for example, were Elohim, Yahweh, Adonai. His personal names, Father, Jesus, Son, Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
the descriptive names, King, Judge, Shepherd, and his titles, Creator, Christ, Messiah. And it's interesting that all of those, the proper name, personal name, descriptive name, title names, it just is such a wide range of names that God can be seen or revealed. And so what I thought was interesting is to ask about the first name that was kind of revealed, the the proper name that was revealed, and that is Elohim. Mm-hmm. Elohim.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which we see in the very beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Elohim, mm-hmm. which is fascinating because Elohim is actually plural in the Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Now that's fascinating to me, obviously, because you know we know that God has revealed Himself in a triune way, and so when we talk about that Elohim, it's just a definitive statement. He is God. I mean, it's used more than 2,700 times in the whole Bible, bro.
Wow.
I mean, and it emphasizes God's power and God's sufficiency as a sustainer.
Yeah.
Now, you think about that. It's like God, you know, it's like, matter of fact, because remember, the Bible isn't about proving the existence of God at all. It right, starts out right. with the fact.
Mm-hmm.
Elohim God exists, right, you know, right. period, in the story. And then there's the proper name Yahweh that we look at, which we saw in Exodus, you know, when the Lord reveals his name, you to know, Moses. To Moses,
mm-hmm.
you know, I will be who I will be. But it wasn't until about when Jesus came, that the personal name of God really started being used. Father.
Mm. Yeah.
Jesus.
Ooh.
Son. Holy Spirit. These are personal names of God that in the Old Testament, they weren't. Because these the formal name for Jesus in the Old Testament, remember what? Angel of the Army of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Those type of names. Mm-hmm. And then you had the Spirit of God and so on and so forth. But in the New Testament, when after Jesus hits the scene, he starts using these names that the Jews would have never thought to use.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to call God your Father?
Wow.
And remember, they wanted to stone Jesus because Jesus was calling him Father, and he was saying it in such a way that what? He was saying that me and the Father are equal, meaning yeah. that you're saying you're God.
Right.
And right. so... if you think about that, and then even in our prayer, what did he say? When you pray, say what?
Our Father.
Now, I'm gonna go a little urban a little bit.
Be thine.
How many of y'all? I know y'all the Honey Boys and the Woods. Y'all kind of ran y'all little blocks back in the day. What was interesting is if I had said to somebody on your block,
wow,
that I'm going to get my brother Frank. And he gonna handle this.
Mm-hmm.
For some people, that would have been like, "Oh man," because they know your reputation. Or, "I'm going to get my brother Kevin."
Mm-hmm.
And some people would tremble.
Mm-hmm.
Now, right, if I said right. that name over in North Carolina, "I'm going to get my brother Kevin," they'd be like, "Oh, and
yeah.
you know." But if I say, "I'm going to get my Father God."
Mm-hmm.
That actually shakes the universe.
Right.
Yeah. Wow.
That's awesome.
Beautiful.
That's awesome.
And so when we look at how the Lord reveals his name to us in those really personal ways, that's where I believe we make the connection.
Okay.
Like we said yeah. in our last section, you know. What name will we give God based on his experience in our lives?
Mm-hmm.
The personal name that God reveals to us is when I think is when we make that connection.
Right.
He gave us permission to call him Father.
Right.
He gave us permission to call him friend.
Mm-hmm.
He yeah. gave us permission, and it was all based on our relationship with his with son.
Uh-huh.
Look at all that personal. I mean, that's personal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, "I'm going to be with you in his Holy Spirit." I mean, think about yeah. that, y'all. That's intense to me. That's intense.
Oh, absolutely.
I was thinking about how in a very intense, very, very just beautifully laid out. And I love it how we're just opening up as best we can, you know, for God's glory, and thinking about how we're knowing him more and more through relationship. I was reminded of Jacob knowing God, and it talks about when he went to the place and he fell asleep. This is Genesis. I'm going to start at verse 28, and I want to read a couple of verses. Mm-hmm. Genesis 28, verse 18 is where I'll start. Verse 16, it says, when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. He was afraid and said, what an awesome place this is. I thought that was odd, because I said God is awesome to me, and that was awesome. Yeah. The last segment, so I was like, wow. He says, verse 17, he was afraid and said, what an awesome place this is. This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early in the morning, Jacob took the stone that was near his head and set it up as a marker. He poured oil on the top of it and named the place Bethel, though it was previously the city was named Luz. And Bethel meant the house of God. We're talking about how God, as he reveals himself to us, we identify him with names, and Bethel meant the house of God. It's like God was in the house, and I wasn't even aware of it. And we're talking about last time how we know God more and more as he revealed himself through us through personal relationship and personal revelation and personal testimony as we go throughout life. And I just thought that was amazing.
Absolutely. You know, and I'm – you do?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I got these headphones on, so I'm echoing. Let me take them off. As I was just contemplating, as Rich was just giving us what God was giving him, man, and creating and painting a perfect picture, man, of this subject of the name of God and knowing God intimately, that he would reveal himself to us through our situations and circumstances, it reminded me to go back to the study that was revealed to me in the creation account in Genesis, and how God is revealing himself. We talked about him revealing himself as Elohim, or creator God. And when we look through chapter 1 of Genesis, we go through and we see God created, God said, God saw, God said, God made, God called, God said. And we're going through and we're seeing this name Elohim, creator God, being used over and over and over again. And then in chapter 2, when it begins to give us the account of the creation of man, how now a new name of God is introduced to the reader and the study or the student of the word, where it is the Lord God now. It's the Lord God, verse 4. This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Now, it's not just creator God, but now it's the Lord God emphasizing his lordship over creation. And so I thought that's fascinating, because many, many, many will acknowledge God as if God just needs to be acknowledged, when God's will, which is found in this word, is actually that we would see the kingdom of God, and evidence that we see the kingdom of God, we would enter in, and as a subject of the kingdom of God, we will be in submission to the king.
To his lordship. That's fascinating. Wow. That you bring that up, because when that new name is introduced, Lord God, it's actually a revelation of God's goodness in his power.
Oh, absolutely.
Ooh. So you look at God Elohim, and now he has Lord. So I'm not just Almighty God, I'm a good God.
Oh, absolutely.
And here's what's interesting about that. When you read further down, going into chapter 3,
I was just about to say,
and Satan comes in, Satan starts to say, did not God say.
And that's the point I was making.
Right.
That it's not enough to just acknowledge. Because many, and I'm going into the prisons and talking with individuals, even in the community, they'll say, oh, I acknowledge God. I know God knows my heart.
But goodness comes from me.
And they're only referring to the creator God and not the God that reigns and rules over us. God freed Israel in order to free them from bondage, in order to allow them to serve him. So that's the God we're talking about. We're talking about the God that frees us from the tyranny of sin, but allow us to serve him in a manner that's pleasing in his sight, that we will be in position to receive the blessings from God. That's what his will is for
and
us.
And that's a good exegesis of that passage, because that's exactly how Satan got Adam and Eve thinking. Mm-hmm, it's like, God is not good. He left that off intentionally mm-hmm. to show them, well, God is not good. God is a selfish God. He's this all-powerful. He's not personal God, because if he did, why don't he want y'all eating from the tree?
Yeah, why don't he want y'all knowing what he know?
And so
yeah.
what is that? That's an attack on God's person, his mm-hmm. name,
yeah.
who he is, right? And the enemy is continuously, especially in today's society, especially in our culture today, continuously attacking the name of God or the character of God or the person of God or the work of God. He's continuously asking the same question he asked Eve in the garden. What has God said? What has he said? Because whether we'll be victorious in spiritual warfare or fall to the snares and traps of the enemy is based on God's word. And thus God inhabits his word and allow us to saturate our hearts and minds with his word, so that when the enemy comes to us in the manner of just the popular thinking as it pertains to marriage, as it pertains to sexuality, as it pertains to family, as it pertains to being a man, when the enemy come up against us and challenge what God's perspective of that is, we are to respond in the manner that God would by utilizing his word.
And that's where I want to go, because when we talked about last session, I asked you guys what the name that would best reflect.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I ask you, based on your studies in scripture,
yeah,
what is one of the names that the patriarchs of the past have used that will best describe?
Oh, yeah. I got it.
God has revealed to you through his word.
I thought you was going to do that last time, right. So I had it said.
Repeat that question. Repeat the question.
What name in God in scripture has God revealed to you that best associates with your life now? We did one personally. You know, you said awesome, correcting, friend. Now, based on your studies in scripture, when you came on that name, it just resonated with you. It was the one. And I'll say mine first, because I was last, and we can go back in the reverse way. And that for me is Jehovah Nisi.
Okay.
You know, when the Lord, when Moses holding up his arms and everything, and it was like, because when I discovered that name, I'd study what banners represented back then.
Mm-hmm.
It represented who you represented. Mm. It was like when people saw like the Roman banner, okay, mm-hmm. people actually were afraid, because right. this is like right. the great Roman Empire.
Right.
I resonated with that because of my relationship with him.
Wow.
I know that no matter what happens in this world, that my banner will outshines everybody's.
That's awesome.
And that it's going to be very clear who I represent.
Yeah.
When Christ comes, it's going to be very clear to this world who Richard represents.
That's really deep. It's funny. And just to be upfront, I've never really thought of that so deeply until now. So I really don't have a answer. But the answer I do want to say is kind of based on when I first got saved, and you guys know I'm a Christian rapper. And I think I love big words and things like that, and becoming a disciple and learning to study and just loving to study more. But when I first heard the name Sitkanu, I was blown away. And putting it in a verse, you know, a rap verse helped remind me of what it is. But just knowing that he's the God of righteousness, and he also makes me right. Knowing that I'm wrong, day by day, moment by moment, hour by hour, I still fall short of his glory.
Easy.
But Jehovah Sitkanu is the God of righteousness.
Yes,
he makes me right. Jesus' blood makes me right. I fall short of his glory, but he still says he's right because he's connected to me.
My. Preaching. Wow. Well, I was just sitting here, it's so amazing how God, through his sovereignty, always connects the dots wherever he allow us to minister. And I remember thinking about this when we came in and knowing that the topic was names of God. My life verse is Proverbs 3:5-6. But God led me to say that principle is actually taken from his revelation given to Moses in chapter 10 of Deuteronomy, the second giving of the law, under the rehearsal of Moses' dissertation on God's mercy. And it's found in verse 17 of the 10th chapter, where it says that, "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe." That's my God.
That's what's up.
That's my God. And I think about that because we're living in a time, especially now, where man, although there's only one God, the Shema, there's only one God, but man has chosen, as the apex of God's creation, to choose small g gods to serve that are not gods. And in God's mercy and in his grace and in his permissive will, he allowed men to do it, not negating the consequence, but he allowed men to do it.
Now, I want to encourage our listening audience, because I know that there are some people that may not know about a lot of the different names, but there is one name that everybody's very familiar with.
Oh, and I'm going to say the name. The name was Elohi Ha Elohim.
Okay.
God of gods.
God of gods.
Elohi Ha Elohim.
Okay. And that's awesome. And it's found in the book of Psalms 23.
My Lord.
Ooh.
Yehovah Raha. The Lord is my shepherd. And so what's fascinating about that is when you think about the Lord being your shepherd, and what a shepherd does, as his shepherd, and here's, you can grasp this name, as his shepherd, that's an extremely personal relationship.
Yeah.
As a shepherd, he never stops giving to you.
Mm.
As your shepherd, his provisions is based on his grace, not your ability. Because you know how sheep wander sometimes and stuff like that? It's based on him coming and getting you back, no matter how messed up you are or how far you've gone. And then you have, he's your shepherd, and his grace results in the shepherd's glory. Because with all the grace that he puts on you, and you're growing in his grace, you're growing in, you constantly shine. And if somebody says, "Who's your shepherd?"
Right.
Who's taking care of you?
Think about ancient Israel or Middle East, and they go to the watering hole, where and you see, that's funny. The sheep only look as good as their shepherds.
Right.
And they
look good. They all like puffy.
And to add on to that, so in God's work of redemption, you know, God takes us right back to the book of origin, of where everything originated from, and gives us the actual redemption of man through that whole illustration of shepherd. Like you said, the sheep glorifying the shepherd, because God said he created man in his image and likeness, that we would reflect who God was, that we would bear the name of God. And so when we do that in lining up with God, being the Lord God, the God who rules and reigns over us, now, because of our relationship with God, we can fulfill our representation of God and then uphold our responsibility to God.
Okay. I got to finish this, preacher. And as his shepherd, he gives everything we need so we have nothing to fear.
Yeah.
As our shepherd, he not only sustains us, he satisfies us. As our shepherd, he pursues us with his love.
Yeah.
And our experience with our shepherd,
hallelujah,
has no end.
Thank you.
And so it's interesting, again, if you haven't studied the names of God, the study in them are so remarkable, but it's not to study them so that you get sound holier than somebody else.
I was just going to say that.
It's for personal. It's like, who is God to me?
Man, I would liken it to taking a bath or a shower. You know, we're not taking it so for shower's sake, but we're taking it so that it would cleanse us, that it would change us, right?
Yeah.
And so we're studying that we would put on what God is saying.
And that's what I was going to say while we were just interrupting each other about that Middle Eastern look, that Middle Eastern picture. And there's a bunch of sheep, a flock of different flocks of sheep, but there's different shepherds.
Mm-hmm.
And then you think about the sheep that looks like the shepherd taking care of them, but then you see others, different flocks of sheep that look like a hireling just brought them there to get taken care of. Like, that sheep over there, they dirty. But man, whose sheep is that? Their sheep, them flock of sheep over there is clean.
Mm.
They're without spot or wrinkle.
And so, I find that, and there's a lot more that we could have gone into.
Yeah.
As it pertains to the names of God. I mean, just the Greek names. And then let's not mention Hebrew names, but let's not mention the names of Jesus.
Yeah.
The names of the Holy Spirit.
The names of the church.
Yeah. Well,
being the body of Christ.
Yeah. Okay.
The bride of
Christ. Yeah. Okay. But next time we get together, we're going to talk about the attributes of God. The attributes he shares with us and the attributes he doesn't.
Communicable and incommunicable.
When we talk about the attributes of God, you think his names are powerful? Wait till we get into that study. Hope Radio 98.7.
Yeah. Joy FM.
Hope Radio 98.7.
Thanks for tuning in to the Captive Project Radio Discipleship Time every Friday, 7 to 7:30 p.m. on your FM dial. You can also like us on Facebook at Hope Radio, or you can check out our live streams on Discipleship Radio.
Or check out the website, www.thecaptiveproject.com, or hit us with an email, thecaptiveproject@gmail.com, or drop us a line at
414-771-6000.
In his name, man.